As I mentioned this morning, we're going to look at the subject of prayer on these Sunday nights, and the Lord wants us to pray as His people, and the hour is at hand to pray, and we will see that tonight from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and let's look at verses 36 to 46. Matthew chapter 26, perhaps a familiar group of passages. We're going to learn some lessons on prayer tonight from these. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here a while, and while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and that is James and John, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. Father, as we look at these verses, as we consider, Lord, the enormity of the events that were taking place, Lord, help us to see the importance of, Lord, your call to prayer, to rely on you, Lord, to strengthen our faith and to put our care and trust in you as we pray. Lord, help us as your people to be a people of prayer. Lord, may we not fail in the day of adversity. May we, Lord, may not fail of the grace of God. May we, Lord, take hold of your promises and be strengthened as we pray together for your will to be done in our midst. Lord, we thank you for these verses, these passages. Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. And help us, Lord, as your people to grow. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, leading up to his betrayal and his arrest, as you can see very clearly, the Lord took some time aside to pray. Actually, as you look through the Gospels, you'll notice before every major decision, before every major crisis, the Lord Jesus himself, God in the flesh, chose to pray. And that very example alone should be enough to encourage us and to challenge us to pray. Well, here in these verses, we see that not only did the Lord pray, but he led his disciples, Peter, James and John, with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them also to pray. He's told them to watch and pray. Verse 37, he told them to pray. The Lord went a little further away and prayed. Verse 40, he came back and he found them doing what? They were asleep. Then he told them once again, he woke them up, didn't he? He said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Why aren't you praying? Verse 43, he came back a little while and found them sleeping again. Once again, he woke them up and he told them, you need to pray. You need to pray. Then the third time he came back, and notice in verse 45 what the Lord said, sleep on now and take your rest. Now, I don't believe the Lord Jesus was saying, okay, I get it. I've come back the third time, you're still sleeping. You're tired, that's okay. Go ahead and have some sleep. Everything's fine. No, that's not what the Lord was saying. The Lord was simply telling them, don't bother praying now. It's too late. The time to pray is over. The hour is at hand. The betrayer is come, and we know that is what he meant, because verse 46, he says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." In other words, the Lord told his disciples, the closest disciples that he had, that it's too late to pray. And that's not a thought that often comes across our mind, does it? You know, we are encouraged by the book of Hebrews that tells us that we can come boldly at any time as God's children who are washed in the blood, boldly at any time before the throne of grace to receive grace to help in a time of need. But so often we forget that God's clock doesn't stop moving when we don't pray. Yes, we can come before the throne of grace at any time, but the clock keeps ticking. The clock of God's will, the clock of God's eternal plan. God doesn't turn back the clock because we're not praying. No, you see, for the disciples, it was too late to pray. And what they were about to experience, they were completely unprepared for because they did not pray. So the challenge and the encouragement for us as God's people this evening is to not wait until it's too late to pray. Don't wait until it's too late to pray. Well, first of all, what do we learn from these verses? Well, very simply, and I'll make it easy for everyone tonight, including myself, we need to listen to the Lord when he tells us to pray. Amen. We need to listen to the Lord. How many of you would agree tonight that the disciples knew exactly what the Lord wanted them to do? Amen. You don't have to raise your hands. They knew. The Lord told them three times, "I want you to pray. I want you to pray." It wasn't a secret as to what the Lord wanted them to do. And as God's people, if we are going to make sure that we are prepared for the road ahead, we need to pray on time. Amen. Not just pray, but pray on time. How do we know when we ought to pray? Well, the Bible tells us very simply, we are to pray in the book of Thessalonians. We are to pray without ceasing. We need to always be in a spirit of prayer. That means ready to pray at any time for any particular need. And the Bible tells us that God will tell us when we're meant to pray. How is that? How does that happen? Well, the voice of his word. Amen. God shows us in his word. As you spend time in God's word, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God will show us some needs to pray for. Hey, there are some sins to confess. I need to pray. Hey, there's someone's salvation I need to pray for. I need to pray. Hey, there's a danger and a temptation coming up during this day, perhaps. I need to pray for God's protection. But let me assure you, as you spend time in the Word of God, you'll hear His voice. You'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "You need to pray for this before you leave the house. You need to commit this to me," not because he doesn't know what's happening, but so that you and I can claim his grace, his power, his protection, so we walk forward into the trial by faith, not unprepared for what is to come. So we need to listen to when the Lord tells us to pray. He'll let us know through his word. He'll let us know by his spirit. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 speaks about the Holy Spirit of God, that he is our helper in prayer. Have you ever been going out about your day and the Lord lays something upon your heart and you can sense and know that the Holy Spirit of God is telling you, knocking on your heart, if you will, that you need to pray now for this person? Maybe it's a missionary. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's something that you forgot about in the morning to pray for, and the Holy Spirit of God simply brings back to mind what the Lord has laid on your heart. And he's convicting you, isn't he? I know he does with me. He says, "You haven't prayed for this person. You haven't prayed for my protection today. You know, you've forgotten. You need to pray right now where you are and commit that to the Lord." So you see, very simply tonight, we see that the Lord will speak to us. It's not that we don't know when to pray. Our problem is when we ought to be praying, we don't. We don't. When we ought to be praying, we don't. And we need to be more careful as God's people to listen to the voice of God. Now, what we see in these verses is very real and true for us, isn't it? That when God wants us to pray, it doesn't necessarily mean the timing will work out for you and I. Now, how many of you understand tonight that the Lord knew that the disciples were tired? Would you agree? Would you agree that the Lord knew it was nighttime? They had an exhausting day, but the Lord knew that prayer was more important at this time than sleep. They were going to enter probably the greatest moment of crisis in their 3 years with the Lord. And the Lord was preparing them. He knew that they were tired. And brethren, God knows when you and I are also physically tired. But we need to understand that trusting in Him in the hour of need is much more important than sleep, than even catching up on some sleep. See, the timing may not be convenient. You might be at work and the Lord lays someone on your heart or a burden on your heart, and you just need to take some time aside to pray, maybe in your lunch break, maybe in a moment at your desk, just to pray and bring that need to the Lord. It may be at a time that's inconvenient. Now, I'm not suggesting you close your eyes and bow your head while you're driving. Don't blame that on Pastor James. This is why I crashed my car. Okay, if you're going to pray while you're driving, make sure you keep your eyes on the road. But the timing won't always be convenient. But here in the scriptures, the Lord shows us that there's something more important than sleep. There's something more important than our schedule, than God fitting in with our schedule. Amen. We need to fit in with God's priorities. And one of God's priorities in the Christian life is prayer. Is prayer. He will allow us to face crises and trials. He will allow us to face temptations, if you will, to challenge us to pray. God doesn't tempt us to sin, but He allows us to go ahead without prayer to show us how vulnerable we are. The problem is we don't pray as we should. So the challenge to the disciples is the challenge to us. Don't wait until it's too late to pray. Listen to the Lord's voice. Now notice also in verse number 40, what the Lord said, and I want to ask a question. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? How do you think the Lord felt in His heart when He came upon His 3 disciples, the most faithful, perhaps the ones He wanted to be leaders of the group in time to come? How do you think He felt when He saw them sleeping? That's right. That's right. I believe it grieved His heart. His heart was already sorrowful, even unto death. But then He came and saw His disciples and they weren't even praying. They were asleep. You see, when we don't pray, and we ought to, it does not please the Lord. Now, the Lord doesn't love us any less. The Lord didn't love His disciples any less. But it's not pleasing to the Lord when we don't pray. It grieves Him. Here's a very convicting picture of how the Lord feels when we don't pray. It's like the Lord saying, what? Could you not at least? Can't you just commune with me? I mean, who am I to you? You can see in the Lord's words His grief, His displeasure in how the disciples were sleeping. And we need to wake up as God's people and realize that the hour is at hand. There comes a point in our lives in certain situations when it's too late to pray. And it's too late to pray. And if we don't pray when we ought to, we bear the consequences of our actions. We're unprepared for what's ahead. So first of all, we need to listen to the Lord when He leads us to pray. When He leads you to pray, pray straight away. Amen. Pray when He speaks. Secondly, understand that prayer prepares us for what's ahead. Prayer prepares us for what's ahead. Verse 41, look there with me. The Lord said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, these disciples were about to experience a crisis unlike anything they had experienced before. Their Savior, their Lord, their leader would suddenly and violently and horrifically be snatched from their very presence. Now think about the disciples for a moment. Put yourself in their shoes. They had forsaken all to follow him. They believed in him as their Messiah. They had followed him with all their heart. Though they were not perfect, every time the Lord was attacked, he was their shield and defender. Amen? No one could harm the Lord. And while they were in his presence, they felt safe. Though he tested their faith on the Sea of Galilee, though he allowed the storms to come, there the Lord came walking upon the water and he calmed the sea. You see, these disciples loved the Lord. These disciples followed the Lord wherever he went. And suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ would be stolen from them. Suddenly their world would come crashing down around them. Not only that, but the betrayer would be revealed. You know, it would be bad enough for Christ to be taken away, to be seized upon and led away. But what made matters worse was suddenly, and again completely tragically, one of their own, would reveal themselves to be not a follower of Christ, but an ambassador of evil, Judas himself. Remember that Judas had followed the Lord just as long as the other disciples had, the other apostles. He'd followed the Lord. He'd served with them. He ate with them. He fellowshipped with them. He was a fellow believer. He was a friend. And he himself would be the very one to betray the Lord. Now, would you agree with me tonight that this was a huge crisis that was coming up? This is something that they had to be prepared for. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. What temptation? The temptation of the huge event that's about to come. So you and I don't know the road ahead, but the Lord does. And when he tells us to pray, we better pray quick. We better pray before it's too late, lest we head into the situation at hand, the hour at hand, unprepared. You see, this was an intense event. This was a crisis point in their lives. And Christ was preparing them. The spirit indeed is willing, brethren, but the flesh is weak. Don't underestimate the potential of your flesh, your sinful flesh, to act and react in a way that is displeasing to the Lord in a moment of crisis. We need to be careful not to think, hey, I'm okay. You know, whatever comes at me, I'll take it as it comes. Amen. And I'll just go with the flow. She'll be right, mate. Friends, that's not in the Bible. Amen. The Lord says she won't be right. Yep. You need to watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. Lest you fall. And we need to understand that whatever comes for us in each day, we need to be a people of prayer. We need to commit the day to the Lord, if you will. We need to be trusting in the Lord. See, prayer is not just an activity. Prayer is your and my relationship with God. Speaking face to face with Christ our Savior. Communing with the one true living God. Drawing nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto us. Amen. Making sure we walk in the power of the Spirit each day, not in the strength of the flesh. How many of you have realized that when danger, temptation, crises that come during the day that we're unprepared for, you and I cannot handle in the strength of the flesh? It's much different when we're spiritually prepared and we head into the day. Now, we can't control the circumstances, but the Spirit can control our heart. So we need to be a people of prayer. Prayer prepares us for what's ahead. And this is what I hope you can see tonight that the Lord was doing. He was preparing Peter, James and John. I want you to pray three times with urgency, with grief in his heart. He asked them to pray, but they would not pray. Brethren, prayer is a wonderful privilege. And there's no one in this room that prays enough as we ought to. Amen. That includes me. We need to be a people that depend upon God. You know, when we pray, the burden lifts off our shoulder, doesn't it? That weight, that trial suddenly miraculously lifts. Why? Not because God has given you a fuzzy feeling in the pit of your stomach. Why? Because
we cast our cares upon the Lord. Amen? For He careth for you. We take that load and we say, Lord, I'm giving it to You. Lord, Your will be done. And suddenly our confidence and faith in the Lord grows as we pray. Isn't that correct? Our faith in God prays. Suddenly the perspective of what's up ahead, even though we may know what it is, our whole perspective changes because we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. When you and I walk in the flesh, everything's a disaster. You know, we're like Philip. It can't be done. It's impossible. But when you and I can walk in the Spirit, we say, Lord, help me to believe in all things. Lord, that You are working all things together for good. Amen. That You are in control, and Lord, I am trusting You. Friend, have you ever found yourself in a situation that you weren't spiritually prepared for? Well, let that be the very thing that leads you to be a Christian that is more faithful in prayer. Now, Peter and John and James were going to learn a hard lesson, weren't they? Now, we learn those hard lessons too. But if we can learn from their example, we'll be better off. Peter, James and John were about to learn a hard lesson. They ought to have listened to the Lord when He said pray. They ought to have been more prepared for what's ahead. And thirdly, we're going to see the consequences of praying when it's too late. The consequences of praying when it's too late. Notice Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. Matthew 26, verse number 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? That's to Judas. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Now, who was that one who pulled out his sword? It was Simon Peter. As we compare the different gospel accounts, we're told that it was Simon Peter. We're told that Peter, when he saw the Lord taken captive, we're told how he responded. Now, what would we say this evening? Did Simon Peter, in this incident, respond in the spirit or in the flesh? Okay, exactly. That's very obvious, isn't it? The first reaction that he had was a reaction of anger, a reaction of unbridled passion in the flesh, zeal without knowledge. And so he was responding in the flesh. That was his first response. Can you see why the Lord wanted them to pray? He didn't want Simon Peter to respond in the flesh. Now, no doubt Simon Peter was doing what he thought was best. And that's a fearful thing, isn't it? When we face a crisis and we are unprepared and we do what we think is best, and yet we can be proven to be so wrong. The danger is that you and I will react in the flesh and will ruin our testimony and the Lord's testimony before those who are witnessing our words and our actions. And so you see, Simon Peter responded in the flesh. His immediate reaction was carnal. It was violent. It was brutal. Now, how do we know that the Lord was displeased with him? Well, verse 52, notice with me. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Now, as the soldiers, the Jewish religious hierarchy came to capture the Lord, would you agree that they deserved to be rebuked? Yes or no? Yes, they did. They deserved to be rebuked. They were at fault. How could they do such a thing? How could they do such a thing to the Lord Jesus Christ? But he didn't rebuke them. Judas, if anyone, deserved the greatest condemnation from the Lord, the betrayer,
the one who played and pretended all this time to be a follower, but now had just betrayed the Lord. But who was the one that received the greatest rebuke? It was Peter. It was Peter that he rebuked the most. It was Peter that the Lord had to put in his place, spiritually put in place. Why? Because Peter's actions were preventing God's will from being done. He said to Peter, "Peter, what are you doing?" It's like the Lord saying, "Where is your faith? I'm God. If they take me, they cannot do anything but what I allow." That's what the Lord Jesus said later on. "I give my own self up, Peter. If they're taking me, I'm allowing it." But he couldn't spiritually see that because he was unprepared. He was in the flesh. He wasn't walking in the Spirit. So Peter sadly received the greatest rebuke from the Lord Jesus at this pivotal moment in their lives. And don't you think that it was sad? It was a sad situation. I mean, it was already tragic for the Lord, but then to see Peter and how he responded, I wonder what the Lord was thinking. Now, the Lord is so gracious with us. Peter changed, and he learnt from this hard lesson. And that's the point for us this evening. Please don't go away saying, "Well, I'm worthless, I'm useless, God can't do anything with me." Well, that's a response of your sinful pride. Woe is me, and you know, I'm terrible. The Lord doesn't love me anymore. That's not true. He loved Peter. Amen? He said to Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When you turn back to me from all this that is a result of your carnality, strengthen your brethren. Peter, I'm going to use you. You're not put on the shelf, but you should have prayed before it was too late. That's what Peter should have done. That's what James should have done. That's what John should have done. But they didn't. And as a result, they went into the crisis unprepared. And how did they respond? They responded in the flesh, but not in the Spirit. So that's a wonderful picture in these few verses of the importance to not pray until it's too late. Now, by the way, the Lord wants us to pray in a time of crisis. Amen? The Lord isn't saying, don't pray at a time of crisis. But he doesn't want that to be the only time we pray. And so often that's true of me, and I'm sure it is of you, that we pray only at crisis point. Yes. Not before. Not praying without ceasing regularly. Trusting in the Lord. Now this is one of the most sensitive areas of our Christian life, I understand. But God is impressing upon our hearts as a church that we need to be a people of prayer. A people of prayer. I'm sure Peter didn't want to dishonor the Lord. I'm sure that's the last thing he wanted to do. He had good intentions. But when they faced this trial, his flesh took over. It just took over. But Peter, there was nothing else he could do but to foolishly pull out that sword. He wasn't a soldier. He was a fisherman. He made a fool of himself. He was probably swinging for the head of that guy, but he only got his ear. The Lord healed it and showed Peter his grave displeasure. And that's how great the potential of the flesh is. Don't underestimate your sinful flesh. It's capable of ruining your testimony in an instant. At work, among your family, in the church, we have to be walking close with the Lord. So we're trusting in Him and not ourselves. What does the Bible say tragically in verse number 56? At the end of verse 56, the Bible says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." They forsook him and fled. Praying before it's too late. Now, brethren, the Lord wants to prepare us for what's up ahead. He wants to prepare us, not to say that the trial will be removed, but he wants us to face the trial with faith. Amen? With faith. You see, the wonderful thing about walking in the Spirit and being spiritually prepared is that we face what's up ahead with a greater measure of faith than we perhaps did before. And what that is, that's a measure of growth. You see, as you meet that trial with a greater measure of faith, then you grow that much. Amen? That's how we grow in the spiritual life. When we trust Him more, we grow more. And that's a stepping stone to greater faith. You don't slide back to where you were before. Sometimes we feel that way, but when we come back to a place of faith, in fact, we grow. Amen? That's how we grow, by faith. One step at a time. And prayer is so important because we commune with the Lord and we put our trust in Him. We put our trust in Him. Now, as a church, we're facing a big decision up ahead. A big decision with a big need. But let's not forget that we have a big God. Amen? Let's not forget. You can either panic or you can pray. Amen? You can either respond in the flesh or respond in the Spirit. Sometimes we're one day and one or the other, aren't we? The Spirit and in the flesh. You know, that's the Christian battle. And we know that. But let's be a people, especially at this time, that draw closer to the Lord in prayer so that we can be prepared. And yes, what happened to John, James and Peter wasn't the end. The Lord didn't say, out of here. Can't use you, beat it. The Lord didn't say that. But they had to face the consequences. They had to face the Lord's rebuke. They had to face the loss of the reward of faith, which they could have received if they were sober-minded, if they were Spirit-filled, and they were trusting in the Lord. You know, in the upper room, perhaps when they were hiding, when Christ was crucified, instead of being in hiding in fear, they could have been in the upper room, they could have been banding together in faith. Amen? But they didn't have the understanding. And the Lord knows where we are at. But how much better our Christian lives would be if we would be more so a people of prayer. What's the point? Don't pray. Don't wait until it's too late to pray. Amen. That's the point, you see. Don't wait until it's too late